And if you didn't and are just listening to this book in your car as you go to work, well, now you do. Another thing about me, I'm constantly starving. My entire day is planned around food. What's for breakfast? Should I scramble a couple eggs like a normal human or wolf down the dozen my appetite is telling me to do? There are no leftovers with me. The only thing that's possibly left over is a spot on my shirt. My wife Lana and I go to every new restaurant in LA where we live and travel to a variety of restaurants all over the world. I know a lot about food and keep current on the food scene, watch all the chef shows, Top Chef is my favorite, and seek out phenomenal food. But I hate the word foodie as much, if not more, than the word selfie. I have breakfast, lunch, and dinner with multiple snacks in between. My wife will say, "Babe, don't ruin your appetite." I don't even know what that means. My appetite is impenetrable. My father and I sit around, talk, eat, and justify the indulgence by reconfirming to each other how good the food is. In one sitting, we have Italian bread, meat, fruit, olives, olive oil, gelato. It doesn't stop. We push ourselves to the limit, not dissimilar to the Nathan's famous hot dog eating contest. We just frame it a little bit more elegantly. Instead of using water to wash down just one more bite that we could swallow otherwise, we use Cabernet. Tiger Woods' father, Earl, pushed him to become better at golf. My father pushed me to eat tripe. He said, "It's a delicacy." I would roll my eyes and say, "Gross. No, it's the lining of a cow's stomach." My grandfather couldn't even speak English, so we communicated through pasta, rigatoni, cavatelli, pappardelle. As you listen to this book, you'll see how cuisine always finds its way to the heart of my stories, even if they're about something completely different. Some food rules of mine. I don't eat around my computer. I don't want crumbs wedged between the control and the escape keys. Some people say, "I don't shit where I eat." Well, I don't eat where I work. A meal for me is time to chew the fat, to digest the day while filling up on food, recap, stories. I don't do quick bites, drive-thrus, or eat at a stoplight. I need a proper setup. The dinner table is my informal stage where I work out material. There's nothing quick about my meals. The longer, the better. We may even sit so long one meal bleeds into the next. Food relaxes me. Not eating gives me a nervous, wide-awake energy. The longer I go without eating a full meal, the more I get done. So I don't eat if I have things to do, like perform comedy. The day of the show, I have breakfast, a light lunch, but I skip dinner to get that hungry edge. If you've seen my stand-up or watched my Showtime specials, you know that I'm constantly moving up there, working up an appetite like a bear just awoken from an hibernation. As soon as the set is over, I must beeline into the dressing room, change into a dry shirt, and head to dinner before I could even talk about what went on in the show. Even if it's 1 a.m, I don't say, "Nah, I'm just going to go to bed." Some people grab a drink post-set. I'm ready for a full-blown spread, appetizers, entrees, desserts, and everything in between. Problem is, I'm always trying to stay fit. My wife is like my coach, letting me know when I'm allowed to have something or not. Funny game we play? We act like I'm in trouble or sneaking food every time I eat. Like she's catching me with my hand in the cookie jar. In my family, you don't open anything without finishing it. My wife will save one cookie, eating it little by little over the course of 3 weeks. Lana's so tuned in, she knows by my footsteps as I enter the house whether I stop for lunch, and she could always guess what I had. Some guys come home and take a shower because they're having an affair. I have to wash off the stench of onions in my burrito. There's one major aspect of my life where I don't overindulge, fill up, or even let myself feel satisfied. My career. My recipe for success is to stay hungry. I never let myself bask in any glory. My father's voice is like a broken record constantly playing in my head saying, "Don't get comfortable. Nothing comes easy for the Maniscalcos. Get back to work." When I first came to LA at 24,